This is the Restaurant Technology Guys podcast, helping you run your restaurant better.
Welcome back to the Restaurant Technology Guys. I thank our audience out there for listening each and every time we post one of these episodes. It's always fun when I'm running around a trade show or I run into somebody that's been listening to a most recent episode and they learn something new and share it with me. So if ever you guys run into me out in the world, let me know that you guys are listening and what you guys enjoyed about it. Today, I am joined by actually three special, very special guests, and it's kind of fun because I'm going to let them introduce themselves, and then we'll talk a lot about probably one of the most common questions that I hear from restaurant operators is the what and the how of how to get into a digital commerce world and how to, you know, kind of even the best practices and what are the results of some of those things. And so I'm going to start with Kevin Rice, who is the EVP of Growth at Bounteous, I believe. I'm maybe screwed that up. But Kevin, why don't you introduce yourself, share with our audience a little bit about who you are and what your guys' company does.
Yeah, thanks, Jeremy. Appreciate you having us on today. So my name's Kevin Rice. I actually originally co-founded an agency that became really well known as the leading digital agency for restaurant brands. It was called Hathaway. And almost exactly a year ago, we were acquired by Bounteous, which is a global independent, you know, leading digital agency. And so today, I'm actually on the leadership team within kind of that restaurant convenience retailer business unit within Bounteous. And we've helped, three or four dozen brands, in the restaurant industry kind of navigate their digital transformation story. Brands like Wingstop and Domino's and Dutch Bros and Shake Shack, and of course, Jack in the Box, which we're excited to talk about today. But we also couldn't do all of this without our strategic partnerships with companies like Olo, who power the back-end e-commerce for nearly all of our clients. So also excited to have Noah here today. So that's a little bit about me.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, you did half my job there because you introduced me to the other two participants in our call. And as longtime listeners know, I really, really enjoy when I get to get an operator on the call. But I'm going to pass it to a longtime colleague, friend in the industry, Noah Glass, founder and CEO of Olo, is the de facto, I think, in our restaurant vertical for all things digital and all things online ordering. He's been doing this for quite a while. So, Noah, for those that don't know who you are, have been living under a rock for the last 15 years, why don't you tell everybody who you are and what you get the privilege of doing?
All right. Well, Jeremy, thank you so much. And it's great to be with both Kevin and Ryan on the show. I am the founder and CEO of Olo. I started the company in June of 2005. So we are coming up on 17 and a half years of helping restaurants go digital. And primarily what that has meant over time is helping them with digital ordering and then delivery. Today, after developing some additional capabilities and acquiring some companies in the past year, we're more of an end-to-end restaurant technology platform. So we're able to touch all guest touch points, on-premise, off-premise for ordering, payments, delivery, and then also restaurant management and guest engagement tools. And today we're working with over 600 restaurant brands that represent 82,000 individual restaurant locations and connecting them with the 85 million guests who use Olo every year to order and get their food at those restaurants in a way that enables the restaurant to both do more with less from a productivity and profitability standpoint and fundamentally make every guest feel like a regular. And that's become a big rallying cry at Olo over the past year.
I love it. I love it. Like I said, you'd almost have to be living under a rock for the last 17 years to not know who Olo is and what they've done. So you guys have done a fantastic job of hitting those points. And we've got a mutual customer. Both of you guys alluded to it. So Kevin, why don't you introduce yourself? Ryan, why don't you introduce yourself? Let everybody know kind of where you came from, what you get the privilege of doing day in and day out, and then we'll kind of talk about how all three of these parties have really solve some really cool problems, and I think we're in for a treat today with the conversation. So, Ryan, why don't you take it away?
Yep, Ryan Ostrom. I'm the chief marketing officer for what I think is one of the best brands in QSR, which is Jack in a Box. We have the most fun, and I kind of a background that's a little different than most marketers is I actually grew up in digital, so I spent my time at Reebok, Creighton, RBK, Custom.com, and spent some time over at Sears Holding Company running e-com for the brands of Kenmore, Craftsman, Die Hard. And then got my first action within the QSR space as the chief digital officer for KFC Global. And kind of fell into the food space and found my way over to Jack in a Box, which is a brand I grew up with growing up in Arizona, eating their spicy chicken sandwiches, going there after high school games. And I just love this brand and I'm excited for the partnership we have with Bounteous and Olo to help kind of evolve our digital channels.
I love that. I think anybody that grew up with Jack in the Box has a Jack in the Box story. There was I went to San Diego State University, and there was a Jack in the Box on campus that we often used to patronize on a regular basis through college. So definitely a big Jack in the Box fan, and you guys are always on the forefront of innovating on the food side as well. So I love that. I love that about the brand. So Ryan, I'm going to keep the mic with you for just a second. So talk to me a little bit about, because I know a lot of restaurateurs and a lot of restaurant technologists sit here, and it's always interesting when I get somebody that came in from a different vertical, because oftentimes they come into the restaurant vertical and go, but it should be so much simpler. And you know, in general retail or in big box retail, like you were talking about in some of those other brands, there's a different interaction, you know, with the guest. When you got to, you know, KFC and now at Jack in the Box, talk to me a little bit about even the mindset shift that you had to have, because clearly you went out and found some of these partners that helped you get there. But talk to me a little bit about the mindset shift and how, at an executive level, what were you guys trying to solve for? What was your charter and where were you going? Because I think it's going to help really lay the groundwork for the rest of the conversation today.
Yeah, and I think I'll just kind of dip into our strategy a little bit that created when I got here, which is the Jack in the Box Crave strategy. And that basically stands for being culturally relevant, authentic, visible, easy, and distinctive. And what we're really kind of focused on in this solution is about making it easy. And, you know, it used to be in QSR and fast food, the drive-through was easy. That's what built it. That's what grew this entire business. And it's interesting how the mindset of the guest has changed within this business, where even waiting for food for 15 minutes is easier than driving to going to the drive-thru. And mm-hmm. So that ease component has shifted. And so as more guests order, they want to get their food faster. They want convenience in a different way. It's how simple can we make it? How easy, intuitive can all our solutions be? Where's the best experience for the guest? And I think as many of us have entered into this business from outside, that the systems and the platforms weren't really built that way. And absolutely. So as even when I joined Jack, it's about how do we create a better, more intuitive system? How do we find the right partners to really make that guest experience as easy as possible as we kind of focus on in our strategy? And I think that's how we ended up here in this place, updating our platform, updating our app, updating our mobile web, and further integrating our loyalty and making it easier for the guests in every single transaction.
That's a fantastic strategy. And I love that because I think, Noah can attest, I'm sure, you know, I guess part of why I wanted to know, Ryan, where you guys were going is I feel like a lot of people are trying to find this holy grail, but don't necessarily know where they're going. They don't necessarily know who their guests are. They don't necessarily understand where they want to get to. And so, Noah, I'm going to ask you and then Kevin, talk to me a little bit about the vetting process when you guys are looking to go into a partnership with somebody and you know what your capabilities, your technology are, but technology for technology's sake doesn't necessarily solve problems. Having a clearly defined, you know, route to what the customer problem you're trying to talk about, like Ryan said, we're trying to create this Crave, you know, Crave deal, and the way what we're really trying to solve is how do I engage with the guests more often? Talk to me a little bit about what your guys' process is when you guys start talking with CMOs, when you guys start talking to CIOs, CEOs, CFOs about that process. And then you and Kevin bounce back and forth about kind of what does that look like? Because you guys have to do it right, because I'm sure you guys have found people that don't do it well and ultimately they're not satisfied with what they got out of it.
Well, I think it has to start exactly where Ryan said. It has to start with that ambition of how am I going to better serve my guests' needs or a subset of their needs with a new offering. And I think that was the very clear context that we walked into where, you know, we initially started working with Jack in the Box and Ryan and team in 2021. And there that clear need was we want to enable delivery as an offering through our own direct channel. We want guests to be able to order from us, get food delivered to them, because just as Ryan said, there are times when that's just more convenient. That's just a time when a guest is craving Jack in the Box food. For whatever reason, they can't get to the drive-thru or they don't choose to get to a drive-thru. They want somebody else to collect the order at the restaurant and then deliver it to them in a really high-quality fashion. And so we started working together with our dispatch module, which is about really closing that gap and enabling restaurant brands that don't themselves have delivery drivers to tap into a pool of over 24 delivery service providers to offer delivery to their guests through the brand's own direct channel. So the partnership really started there and then recently developed further into have re-engineering the ordering experience with Bounteous as the agency kind of building on top of our ordering platform, but thinking about how to make that into a more engaging experience. And it's something that we pride ourselves on at Olo, that we have an open platform that we work with now over 300 technology partners, Bounteous being one of those, to go and build really to a brand's dreams. I mean, they're sort of ideal experience for the guest, something that's going to help them to learn more about that guest and then better serve them. And it's really a great flywheel. You know, you meet the needs of the guest, you learn from those experiences and the data that you're gathering from them, and enables you to keep building and iterating and meeting that guest expectation. And I think that's the kind of work that Jack in the Box and Bounteous have been able to do together in bringing this to life.
I love it. So Kevin, I'm going to pose that same question to you that says, you know, you obviously somebody on your team or yourself potentially engaged with the team at Jack in the Box, and you knew that they may have had the solution as Noah talked about, but they were looking to take it to 2.0, 3.0, whatever the next model up is that says, we really want to take the next step to this digital engagement. Talk to me a little bit about what that engagement looks like and how do you vet that the brand is really ready for what it is that they're saying they're wanting? Because, you know, throwing technology at it, as I said, doesn't necessarily always solve the problem. Even throwing a pretty UI or pretty UX onto the guest experience doesn't necessarily solve the problem. But really having the entire organization wrapped around it. What do you guys do to help brands understand that, Kevin?
Yeah, so we certainly look for partners that understand digital transformation is a long-term journey, right? It's a long-term initiative. It's not a singular project that can be, you know, started and completed in a finite period of time. And we certainly, through our conversations with, you know, Ryan and Doug and the rest of the team at Jack in the Box, you know, it was clear that they saw this as a long-term effort. I mean, you look at examples like Starbucks or Domino's, you know, Domino's, who's been a Bounteous client for, you know, over 15 years, you know, they started their journey in the mid 2000s, and they're still at it, right? And mm-hmm. they've had multiple evolutions over time where it's continued to get better and better. And they were one of the first brands that were really looked at as an e-commerce company that happened to sell food. And so this first wave of this, you know, kind of initiative in our partnership was really about like building a solid foundation. And as Ryan mentioned, that foundation was really about making a commerce forward digital experience, one that's really easy to order from. I mean, if you've had any time to go on, just say the website, you know, you can start the order from the homepage. It's really easy to navigate. You can create an account with Facebook or Google or Apple. And just the process to go through and create an order, you know, takes maybe a minute or so. And that's the level of expectation that consumers have today. But now that we have that foundation, then we can really start moving into the next phases of like really accelerating digital capabilities and ultimately being able to really differentiate the brand through more innovative digital experiences.
I love that. And I know we'll get into more of that as we continue our conversation. So, Ryan, it sounds like you were on the forefront of kind of the executive decision and, you know, the project charter internal to your guys' organization that kind of ran through you. What was the expectation of the brand when you guys engaged with this relaunch of kind of Bounteous and Olo as you went into the market? What was the expectations that were set? What were the, you know, where were you guys going and then we'll talk a little bit about how did we measure to get there, and where do we think we missed, and where do we think we succeeded and hit a home run?
Yeah, when we looked at Jack in the Box, I mean, over the last year and a half, we're basically one of the fastest growing QSRs in digital, to be honest. And we were driving a Pinto. We weren't, We were maximizing that car as much as we could get out of it. You know, we were tripling, quadrupling our digital sales. We were growing across all our channels. But then as we start looking at the digital guest journey, we start seeing a lot of gaps, a lot of opportunities. We didn't have, we didn't have digital payment. We didn't have good upsell. We didn't have any personalization. All the best practices of 101 e-commerce that has kind of lent its way from, you know, traditional retail, didn't make its way into our restaurant kind of digital experience. And so we started saying, hey, we need to solve this gap. We need to provide better solutions. We need to provide those attributes and those solutions. But we also didn't have mobile web. And so you start looking at you know, we were really app-based kind of solution. We leveraged heavily on third party, but we didn't have mobile web. And you start seeing the growth of, you know, Google and ordering through those channels. We had to start figuring out how to expand our solution set for our guests. And this is where as we just broke down the digital guest journey, we needed to evolve. We needed to grow. We needed to continue this pace of increased digital sales that continue to drive our brand, not only today, but hopefully for the next 5 to 10 years.
I love it. So one of the things that I'm pretty certain the majority of your guys' restaurants are franchise. How did you guys overcome this? I mean, you can set this great vision, but you know, I see you on video, you smile because you know that you got some franchisees that have been sold a bill of goods in the past that, you know, the world is going to be perfect if you just buy this tool or you just do this or you just do that. And I know that that's not, I mean, we all know, I think everybody listening here knows that that's not perfect, but you guys had to not only internally sell your own organization, but now you had to go back to the franchise group and say, hey guys, we're going here and we need you to be on this path. And I'd love to talk a little bit about kind of how Jack in the Box dealt with it. And then where did technology play a part in this? Because I think that's a critical part, because if the guest experience, that's great that you guys are going after this whiz bang, great guest experience. And then I go to the store that's around the corner from my house and it's a terrible guest experience. Now you've missed the mark. And so because the franchisee didn't take the new software, didn't take the new hardware, didn't, you know, set up their store in a proper way to be able to deal with delivery or third party or whatever those things are. So talk to me a little bit about how you guys internally sold to the franchise group, because I think it's critical for people to understand that you've got multiple stakeholders that you need to make sure that you solve for.
Yeah. And I'll start off, I mean, very lucky that we have a lot of smart, intelligent franchisees who understand the evolution of technology. We were sitting on a five plus year solution. So it was almost becoming end of life. And really what it did is we just slowly walked through that customer journey, as I mentioned, and said, here's the pieces that we can embed new technology, new solutions from Olo and the way we build things with Bounteous that we can create upsell. We can create higher ticket. We can create more profitability. And the good thing about digital is, you know, very scientific when you think about analytics and ROI and return. There's numbers, there's trackability.
Yep.
And our ability to lay out a performa and an ROI was pretty easy when you start thinking about all the components we can add in to drive ticket and that profitability, especially as you think about, you know, our franchisees understand the benefit of the Amazons and the Starbucks and the Chipotles and the solutions they provide. They see that on their annual reports. They see when that is put out in public. And so we can rely on those comments to say, hey, this is what we can do as well. We can make digital a 15% of our business. We can move more of those transactions into our own solution, which means more profit and sales for our franchisees versus relying solely on third party. And so as we kind of work through those business models, they start really understanding how we can bring this to life and how they need to support it. And like anything, we bring them along on the journey. We had a lot of our franchisees on the committee as we started showing design, showing concepts. You know, Olo and Bounteous were really great on making sure we took those moments to share along the process where we're at on the designs and the solutions. And I laugh a little bit when you kind of brought your comment. I think that the hardest thing to explain is MVP, to be honest.
Yep.
Because When you work with franchisees, is very used to having a store delivered as here's the store and it's done. it's hard to sell in the fact saying, okay, you're going to have a shell of a store. It will still do everything a store does, but it's going to get better from every 2 week sprint and every yeah. 2 week enhancement. And so there's still that education going on as we kind of have these conversations saying, hey, you don't have this today. You're going to have it in 4 weeks, and then you're going to have this in 8 weeks from now. And it's that continuous improvement, because it's something that is new in this business is franchisees are used to remodeling stores every 5 years. You don't remodel a store every 2 weeks. That's basically kind of what we're doing in e-com, is there's new features every 2 weeks being put out there. And I think that's the hardest thing to kind of bring along on the journey, but we've done a great job. And like I said, our franchisees have been great partners in this entire process.
Well, yeah, thanks for sharing that. Sorry, Kevin, go for it.
Yeah, just chime in on that. I mean, I've certainly seen a lot of brands that come from a, you know, traditional marketing background, or have leaders that come from a traditional marketing background that don't have the digital you know, experience that Ryan and your team do, that also struggle with that kind of concept of getting to market and then iterating over time. They're used to, you know, planned campaigns that you have all this production and then it's done and then it's, you know, aired. The idea of having something that's not perfectly done is not, you know, completely recognized across the industry. When I first started working in the restaurant industry, it was probably about 2014 or 2015. And before that, I probably spent 7 or 8 years just working with, you know, e-commerce brands. And what really struck me was the lack of digital capabilities in this industry. You know, things that we had been doing for, you know, upwards of 10 years in other industries, like A/B testing, multivariate testing, multi-touch attribution. Like, these are things that had been around for a very long time. And to Ryan's point, they're very scientific, they're very data-driven. This language was foreign in the restaurant industry. Now, fast forward to today, and we've certainly seen a lot of restaurant brands bringing in talent from other industries, from retail, from you know, CPG, and really bringing outside knowledge. And the level of digital knowledge today is tremendously higher, you know, than it was even just a few years ago.
Yeah, no, and that was something I heard Ryan talk about that I was gonna come back around to. No, I guess give me your thoughts on where you've seen this transition, because one of the things that I'm thinking about is Jack in the Box is not a small brand. I am certain that they've got, you know, they've got restaurants all over the country. They've got restaurants, or you know, how many of our states you guys are in. You guys have got different point of sale tech stacks. You guys have got different delivery service providers in those areas. You guys have got different areas within that. And managing not only the franchise expectations, but even the guest expectations from a tech stack perspective has got to be really, really hard, because, Noah, I mean, you've been in this industry for a long time. I've been in it a little bit longer than you have, but it's like with one point of sale, it doesn't function the same way the other one does. So you can't even have parity on the features that you want to put out there, and you can't upgrade all stores all at the same time. So how did you guys manage through that? Because again, that's tough. I mean, I'm thinking out loud a little bit, because I'm guessing, I wasn't in the boardroom when you guys were talking through all of these things, but I promise you these things came up at one point or another. How did you guys manage through that?
Well, I guess I would love to weigh in on the last question as well. And I think Ryan is being a bit humble. This sort of mobilization of the franchisees, and it does tie into what you just said, Jeremy. I mean, the mobilization of the franchisees to gain the political will that they're all going to do this en masse and together, that really takes leadership. I mean, that mm-hmm. is not easy. And especially given the constraints that Ryan just spoke to and Kevin just spoke to about MVPs and iteration and not being at the fully delivered end state from the jump. But I think part of what we also reflect on is that, you know, to the consumer, to the guest, the brand is uniform. It has to be the mm-hmm. same everywhere. You can't flip on 10% of your locations, because the guest who's at the other 90% of the locations will say, this is broken. It just doesn't work. They expect every location, regardless of the technology being used in that location, to work the same way. They experience a brand in that manner of a uniform experience. So I think a lot of the work that we've done over the years has been to try to recognize the difference and the distinction between non-guest-facing tech and guest-facing tech. And that for the guest-facing tech, it has to work the same way everywhere. And so that means that if you're going to be the platform that enables that, you need to then integrate into all of the different point of sale systems. You need to integrate into all of the different non-guest facing technologies at use across mm-hmm. the brand and smooth out those differences and be a uniform platform that you can then build on top of. That's true as well on the delivery side. You mentioned different delivery providers for different locations. That's what we did with the dispatch platform, is to try to make for standardization in how an order comes in and we're bidding out across all the different delivery providers who can come and collect that order, and using a uniform set of rules around who is the best delivery quote. Is it the fastest? Is it the lowest cost? Is it the quality of the delivery service historically? All of that takes kind of bringing order to what is a chaotic set of, you know, technology partners and just overall fragmentation in this industry. And I think there's a lot of hard work in that can go underappreciated or just unseen if you're doing it right.
Well, and I think you hit the nail on the head. The guest doesn't care. The guest truly doesn't care what point of sale you have, what KDS you have, what, you know, they want to be on Android, they want to be on iOS, they want to be on six versions of Go iOS and have it work the same way that it does on the latest build. They literally don't care. They want to be able to deal with all of that stuff. And oftentimes, especially in QSR, they're really unforgiving, especially publicly out on the web. And so one of the other things that I've heard a lot of brands talk about that was unexpected, and I'd love to get your take on it, Ryan, and then we can talk through it, is what business changes needed to happen as part of this? Because oftentimes the tech is great and we want to get into this digital world, but it creates operational challenges. I was talking to a CEO the other day of a brand that went from 8% orders going out the door to over almost 20%. And it created some operational challenges because they almost tripled, you know, 2.5 times their digital ordering. And now it created operational opportunities. They didn't have enough space to store the food. They didn't have good labeling just to deal with the delivery drivers that were coming in. They didn't have timing to figure out who the best, you know, to your point, Noah, who the best delivery drivers are. And are they measuring that? And so talk to me about the operational challenges that this rollout created. And what did you guys think about pre? And then where are some of those opportunities that you guys might not have thought through them to really educate some of our audience out there that may be on this journey and trying to figure it out themselves?
Yeah, and I'll start answering that question, because I think the interesting thing about digital is it is the one group or area in growth that touches every aspect of the business. You talk about operations, but you also have IT. I mean, you talk about down to the team member, how it's received in the store. And I think we can always do a better job of thinking through that entire process when we roll out any technology. I think no one thought, you know, when COVID hit, that the accelerant, that would be the accelerant of digital orders. I mean, we were under like 2% to then 6%. Now we're at close to, you know, 11, 12%. And that's only in a 3-year process. So you say, hey, you go from 2 to 12 in 3 years. Mm-hmm. I don't think any store is built to handle that in a shift of how those orders come in. And so the challenges we started seeing, even through this entire process with our old solution, even our new solution, is how do digital orders show up in KDS? How are they received? How do you then verify when the orders get through? And then, you know, are people getting the right orders at the right time? And then the bottlenecks operationally started changing, because we started having third-party drivers go through our drive-thru. Well, yeah. we're late night. That's what we do really well. We are the people late night, and we get a lot of lines at late night. Well, that's when people digitally order as well. So now you have these drivers holding up the drive-through, and the speed has changed, and the window times and the operational metrics are starting to decline. And so now that's one of our big focuses as we get into 2023, is we're starting to look at all the entire end-to-end digital journey and how it impacts in store. And so do we start driving people to, you know, our drivers to pick up in store versus a drive-through? Do we start involving lockers? You know, everyone's looking at lockers and simplifying that. And then how do we, you know, our new builds will have that double drive-through solution. And then that leads into a whole nother conversation, as you talked about, is that the entire tech stack is, with all these new solutions, we realize our current POS provider isn't at the level we need it to be. So we're looking at upgrading that to the most modern software and solution, because as digital starts pushing in the store, that the solution, the store needs to change and be elevated at the same time. And so it's a continuous improvement of this solution, because the bottleneck keeps kind of moving and getting more and more in store.
Yeah. Well, I think, Kevin, I'd love for you to riff a little bit on kind of what are you finding the guest expectations are as far as digital? Because you guys have the data. You guys are the front end. You guys are seeing these things. Talk to me a little bit about what does that look like? Because, again, back to that conversation with that CEO, you know, they 3X their takeout and delivery. But then even guest recovery was really hard, or understanding guests interact with the brands very different digitally than they do when they walk into the store. The statistics show it. They may order the same things, but their expectations are different. We launched a brand, you know, 12 years ago that put kiosks at every table. And, you know, we would do statistically when I was in there and I'd get a hamburger and it'd have the lettuce, tomatoes, and onions on the side. But when it was coming on the burger and I could modify it myself digitally, I modified some 70 or 80% of the orders, whereas traditionally in a casual dining setting, it was 10% of the orders that were modified. And so I'd love, Kevin, for, you know, do you guys do any analytics to understand how are the guests interacting with that and what's working? You talked about it a little bit ago in digital A/B testing and just all of these different ways that e-commerce has been able to do this forever. Talk to me a little bit about how that is changing even to some of the stuff that Ryan talked about. How do we operate the restaurants? How do we make sure the supply chain's up to speed? How do we make sure that the new designs of the stores even can fit this new model? Because it does change everything.
Yeah. I mean, it's really interesting because consumer expectations have somewhat normalized across the board. It doesn't matter if you're a QSR, a fast casual dining, fine dining, like now all of a sudden everybody can participate in this, digital ordering market, and consumers have the same expectations regardless of what type of format you are. They want it high quality delivered to wherever they are, or, you know, any sort of handoff mode like curbside, you know, like I said, drive through, but like it's all about convenience. It's about the experience, and it's really about ease of use. We haven't really talked much about loyalty, but loyalty fits in really nicely with this whole like digital conversation too. But what we found is consumers, you know, they of course are, you know, incentivized by discounts, but if the experience is poor digitally, I don't care how good the discounts are, like they're not going to participate. And so just that level of expectation around experience is a very big contributing factor to your ability to drive frequency.
Yep. Well, and I guess the last train of thought I want to go into is really down that same line, Kevin, which is there has been, you know, Ryan, all three of our guests today have lived in a digital world where we know who the guest is because they're giving us some bit of data to tell me who they are. Even as simple and stupid as an IP address, we know what region of the country they are, all the way through to they gave me their name and their birth date and everything about them. And in an Amazon world, in a Sears world, in a Reebok world, like we give them that data. As consumers, we give them that data. When we walk into Jack in the Box and we walk up to the counter, we don't give them that data. And so tying that in-person guest experience to the digital guest experience, to the drive-through guest experience, is oftentimes the holy grail. And trying to figure out how is my guest engagement working there. And I hear a lot of people talking about where that's at and where that's going. I'm going to throw it out into the middle and I'll let you guys kind of all, you know, I'm throwing chum in the water and saying, talk to me a little bit about what that means for restaurant brands and where is it at now and where is it going? You know, we've got really good thought leaders here. Let's talk about how that fits today and where it's at, where it's going forward.
I'll kind of kick it off from a brand standpoint. And I think, you know, knowing Kevin can jump in from a partner standpoint. For me, data is the future. It's the oil of our industry. It's going to be what drives every single business. We're starting to see the leaders in QSR and QSR Plus being able to leverage data differently to change guest behaviors. That's the whole point, is the more I know about my guests, the more I can change it, more I can influence it, more I can drive them on my slow times. I can bring them on days when I actually have the throughput to bring them to my stores and give them unique discounts that, you know, this business was built on the same discount to everyone. And now it's going to be, hey, you get the right deal at the right price for the right person to drive them in, because there might be people for me who want my tacos at full price. I'm game for that. Come in and pay full price for my tacos. I don't need to give everybody discounts.
Yep.
So that's the power of what data is going to do. And that's also evolving not only how we do our marketing, how we invest, but also how we build our teams. And our teams are changing. My marketing team now has analytics people on it. It has ROI-driven social that helps buy the right media for the right people at the right time. And then also how you create some of that content. It's all changing how we build our teams, execute our teams, and spend our marketing, because it's just data is changing everything we do from a standpoint in my world as being a CMO.
I love it. I'm going to let these guys rough on it, but I got to tell our guests, our listeners, a little funny story. So I was traveling with my son, checking out colleges this weekend, and he forgot to do his homework assignment. And he logged into my laptop because he didn't bring his laptop with him. And he logged into his Gmail account. And I booted up my computer afterwards. And I'm like, what happened to my computer? Where did everything go? Because it was under his profile. And it was just almost a foreign experience. It was the same computer, but just the simple, you know, act of him logging into the browser under a different deal. To your point, Ryan, you're going to be able to do that. The other thing I would say to people often is when I go to Jack in the Box, I get one of three items. But I promise you, once you know that I want one of those three items, you're going to drive me to something that's a similar item that might have a higher profit margin if you do it, you know, if you do it properly through the data. And we know that Amazon's doing it to us every day, all day long, as is grocery and whatnot. So Kevin and Noah, talk to me a little bit about kind of where you guys see that going in the future as it relates to this holistic guest experience and using the data to be able to get them there.
I think Ryan has a really enlightened perspective, perhaps because of his background from e-commerce and from retail. But I think that this is new thinking in this industry, this idea that we should be in a race to take all of these anonymous orders and tie them back to a guest profile, that we should create a guest database. We should have a guest data platform, that we should ultimately try to understand the guest lifetime value of every guest and who are those highest value guests. And then how do I personalize the experience? I mean, this notion of the things that you've ordered the last several times and being able to look at the data set of all guests and see, well, what is that other item that you are a lock, that you're going to love? Mm-hmm. Using collaborative filtering, understanding that you are a lookalike to this big audience of other guests and they love this thing and you've never tried it. I mean, that's where the power of this data can really come into play and have the output of a higher guest lifetime value over time. So we got to make an acquisition last year and acquired a company called Wisely. And that's precisely what Wisely does. Mm-hmm. Is it is a guest data platform that pulls in all of the guest touch points into a single profile of the guest and gets to a predicted guest lifetime value. And I see enlightened brands understanding just how powerful that data is, the way that Ryan just said, and understanding marketing through a whole new lens because they can tie it back to those high lifetime value guests. I think that is absolutely the future of this industry and what will separate the haves and the have-nots going forward.
Hey, thanks for that. And for those that are longtime listeners, they'll probably remember that name Wisely because Mike was on with the founder of Wisely before the partnership with Olo, or the acquisition from Olo. Mike was on the podcast and he was really talking about the future of data and how to aggregate that data, whether it be third-party delivery, you know, all of the different areas. They wrote a fantastic product, and I know that the future is super bright under your leadership, Noah, and the team at Olo. But if you haven't checked out some of that stuff or any of their competitors, I'm not here to necessarily sell Olo and sell Wisely, but you have to be thinking about these things, because at the end of the day, if you're not, people like Ryan are doing this already. And so if you're competing with Ryan up and down the street, understand that Ryan and the team at Jack in the Box are doing these kind of things. And that's part of why I want our audience to understand is that there are people that are spending the time, spending the energy and building these partnerships to get there. So Kevin, is there anything that we missed as far as what Bounteous is doing to help in this path? Because again, you guys are at that front end of the guest experience and you want to know who they are and what's going on with them.
Yeah. I mean, it might help to like deconstruct the solution just a little bit, or even at like a high level, right? You know, what we worked on together just through this kind of MVP and initial launch was really more of a technology ecosystem. Yeah, certainly there's, you know, hybrid mobile apps that are downloadable on iOS and Android. There's a responsive web application. But this was really kind of more of like an API first technology approach, which means the functionality is extensible and we can extend, you know, ordering loyalty to other, you know, applications that consumers can order from in the future. We also implemented a CDP. We implemented a marketing automation system. There's, you know, more robust analytics that are tied in and event tracking. So what our aim was to really just build the foundation so that we can then continue to evolve the Jack in the Box consumer experience digitally, you know, over the coming years and kind of start to get towards, you know, what you called earlier, like these holy grail types of experiences. But, you know, where we are today is, you know, we build the foundation and then we continue to work against that vision.
I love it. I'm going to throw a piece of chum in the water as well and just get your guys' thoughts on it because I always think it's fun. There's been a lot of talk about the metaverse and where the metaverse might play into this. And I have my own opinion. The audience that listens to every one of our episodes realizes that I don't think in our industry, but there's some people taking some big bets on it. So I'd love to, you know, there's some people taking some big bets on it. Ryan, I can see your face on the episode. I know that we are so far behind the curve and there as a restaurant industry, and then people are trying to throw out this metaverse. So tell me where the ire might come from in thinking about this digital first, but metaverse. Like I had somebody from NRN call me a while back, Nation's Restaurant News, call me and ask me about the metaverse. And I'm like, really, we're going there already. Like, I don't get it personally. And I'd love to hear your guys' thoughts on it because you guys are thought leaders. This is what you guys do. And I'd love to get at least your opinion on it and share it with our audience if you guys could.
Yeah, I'll start from a brand perspective. When I look at our business, I have to prioritize. I only have a set amount of money in a set amount of places I need to invest. And I think where you're seeing we're investing now is, you know, we're trying to go from the 101, 201s, the 301s of e-commerce. And I think, is there a future metaverse? I think there is. I think there's going to be opportunity there. Are we going to put our gamble in it as a first mover advantage? Probably not. I mean, I got to tell you, when I worked at Reebok, I was the first one to put Reebok in Second Life. Who remembers Second Life back in the day? Uh-huh. And I think they still have a store in Second Life that no one ever goes to, and it's now gone. So it's going to show up. It's, you know, I'm a big gamer. I see how the metaverse can play in gaming and the future of it. Where is it going to go? And there's opportunity there. When I prioritize our dollars of our franchisees, it's right now more of a marketing play versus an economic ROI play. And so that's where I kind of see it today. That's going to change. It's something we're watching every single day and we're trying to see how it evolves and grows. And there's a lot of brands doing some cool things on it. But I still think it's more of a marketing play than a business play and driving the ROI. And that's kind of our current view. But like everything, we could have said the same thing about TikTok 3-4 years ago. And now look at TikTok. So yep. I think it's just understanding the trends and the opportunities and making sure we move with it. So,
yeah, I'd say Sorry, you go ahead.
It's really about being where your customers are, right? Being mm-hmm. present, making it available wherever your customers are. I don't think the consumer adoption's there today, but as it gets there, then, you know, I mentioned like part of the approach we take with technology is to make it extensible. So making it extensible to other, you know, client-side applications, whether they're in the metaverse or something more, you know, right in front of you, like a kiosk. You know, it kind of reminds me of like, you know, 4 or 5 years ago when chatbots were all the rage. And everybody wanted to talk about chatbots, right? And that really never took off to scale because the adoption wasn't there. But it was something everybody was talking about and keeping an eye on. You know, over time, maybe metaverse gets there. And as it does, and the consumers are ready to order from newer, you know, Web3 properties, then, you know, we'll be ready for that.
I think they've both said it very well. My sense is that all of the work that Jack in the Box and others are doing now to get digital right is setting the table for a potential future in which metaverse or whatever else is around the corner mm-hmm. becomes the new hot thing. And you need to kind of go where the customer is. But I agree with what Kevin just said. I don't think the customer is there today. And I think you need to fish where the fish are biting. And the fish are biting in digital. They might not be biting in the metaverse yet, but digital is going to be that connective tissue between the physical restaurant location, the brand, whether physical or virtual, and its guests, however you cut it.
Yeah, and I think I'm going to go back to something Ryan said earlier, and then we're going to kind of wrap up, is, you know, there wasn't a ton of investment in a lot of these digital properties so many years ago because it was such a small percentage of the sales, so you had a limited amount of time and energy, and COVID certainly accelerated that, and I know it accelerated both the guest willingness to adopt these types of technologies, and I applaud all three of you guys for putting this solution together because I know it's going to lay the foundation to really be able to hit these trends that do come about, whether people stay there or they don't, it doesn't necessarily matter. And so with that, what else did we not talk about on today's episode that you guys want to make sure that our audience hears out there? You know, really, again, our audience is restaurant operators, it's IT professionals, it's people that own restaurants, it's people that are somewhere in this journey that you guys are on. Did we miss anything that you guys would want them to hear from you about some things that they may want to be doing or not doing that you guys have learned from?
I think from a brand perspective, my first inkling is say, don't wait to upgrade your technology solutions, to be honest. I mean, there's always 9 million excuses to say why this is not the right year or the right, you know, time to do it. But when you start getting into 10-year-old to 20-year-old systems and legacy technology, it becomes even more costly to upgrade and to shift. Mm-hmm. And so the business is changing. It's changing the SaaS models. It's changing away from even owning hard goods. Like you're not going to own your POS anymore. It's all about the SaaS models. And I think the more that, you know, we can educate and businesses take a moment to look at their tech stacks and build a technology roadmap to continuously be evolving and upgrading, I think the better off any brand or organization will be in the future.
I love that. I'm going to say, Kevin, Noah, what do you guys think?
Yeah, I just double click on the.
Sorry, I should have given it to one or the other because I've screwed that up now twice. I apologize, guys.
I just, you know, reiterate one time briefly that, you know, digital transformation is not a project, right? This is a long-term journey. This is one that takes, you know, many waves of evolution and learning. And the most digital forward brands have been doing it for nearly 20 years. And that's why they're always covered. That's why they're out in front. And that's why they've been able to prove, you know, the value of digital. You know, the worst case scenario is that whatever you're doing isn't working and you're not going to want to continue to invest. The best case scenario is it's proving ROI and you want to continue to invest.
Again, I'll just take threads that I just heard from Ryan and from Kevin. I think that there is a misconception out there that you build something in this one big bang and then you've got it. You never have to touch it again.
Because it's so silly because I hear it every day. Sorry, I'll let you finish.
Oh, we're going to build that. Okay. So you spend tens of millions of dollars, you build it, and then it starts looking old the next day. And there's nobody there to build it and tweak it and keep it high performance and reliable and secure and modern. I think you need to have this mindset that you've heard from Ryan, you've heard from Kevin around continuous improvement in iteration. And this is a living, breathing thing. So we're out of a world that is buy versus build. It's really about buy and build. And the companies that are going to be successful in these efforts are the ones that take that sort of growth mindset approach and understand that today's solution is not going to be tomorrow's solution. You need to utilize platforms and partners and have kind of an ongoing budget and focus on getting this right and keeping it right and, you know, continuing to improve over time. So I think, you know, there is a long graveyard, a large graveyard of companies and consulting firms who've come in to help them go and build these big bang waterfall approach projects that are no longer relevant. And then there's this new emerging trend of SaaS platforms and agencies building on top, and ongoing budgets of teams continuing to invest that keep a much fresher, more modern approach. And I think that is at its core what this initiative represents between Jack in the Box, Bounteous, and Olo.
I think you hit the nail on the head, because the thing I wanted to remind everybody was something early that Ryan said is we knew where we were going. We kind of had an idea that this was the direction we were going, and we started to iterate and got stuff in the field and started to understand it. And I find too many people that think, oh, I've got everything figured out. I've turned over every single rock, when they haven't even done, you know, they haven't turned over one rock, but they feel like they've turned over every single one of them. And they build this monstrous project plan that takes many, many years, and they don't get it in the field. And so, you know, the best time to start it 10 years ago, the next best time is today. So, you know, if you haven't already kind of gone down this and work with people like these, you know, like these people on the call, you have to, because if you're not, then your competitors are already doing it. And so, I can't thank you guys enough. This has been super fun. Noah, it's always an honor to hang and share a stage with you. We've done it a few times where we just kind of talk about some of the cool stuff. Ryan, very nice to learn a little bit more about what Jack in the Box is doing. And Kevin, I've been a huge fan of what you guys have been doing on your side for quite some time. So I appreciate you guys being on the show.
I can't wait till you're a awesome fan of me and Jack in the Box there, Jeremy.
Wow. Yeah. Well, I am a fan of Jack in the Box with four kids. I frequent it probably more often than I should, but it's good for the franchisees that I patronize, and good for the revenue line. So guys, thank you guys so much for the time. To our audience, guys, we know that you guys have a million different new podcasts that you guys can be listening to. So we appreciate you guys taking some time to listen. You know, while you're listening, go share this episode with people that you think might find it interesting. Reach out to these guys on online. Kevin, if they want to learn more about your guys' organization, how do they check you guys out?
Yeah, absolutely. Just on the website, bounteous.com. A lot of great information about the company, the work we do, both inside and outside of the restaurant industry.
I love it. And Ryan, I'm assuming that they can go to jackinthebox.com, or is there some other, you know, secret site that you go to that we should be sending people to?
It's jackinthebox.com. I think the only thing they need to know is, you know, we're 24 hours. So, you know, depending how their evenings go, they can always, you know, give us a shout at 1, 2, 3 in the morning. So
I love it.
We do best.
And Noah, how do people
great at 2 in the morning?
Yeah, well, that's the metaverse was kind of a funny story, because you talk about being a gamer, Ryan. Like I wonder, in college, I certainly was patronizing at 1, 2, 3 o'clock in the morning a lot more than I do nowadays. That's for sure. So Noah, how do people engage with you and Olo?
Olo.com. Pretty straightforward. Or on Twitter for now, at least. Twitter.com/Olo.
I love it. For now, at least. So we'll see where that goes. We are recording this on the eve of the Elon Musk takeover. This probably won't go live for another 4 or 5 weeks. But to our guests, guys, we thank you guys so much. To our audience, guys, we know you guys have way more choices than you even need out in the podcast world. So we appreciate you guys spending some time with us. Make it a great day.
Thanks for listening to the Restaurant Technology Guys podcast. Visit restauranttechnologyguys.com for tips, industry insights, and more to help you run your restaurant better.